So hi everybody, my name is Jared Benz. I'm an ISV architect evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm here today with Ken Schultz from Jack Henry, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things they're doing to create a consistent user experience across the offerings that they have. So Ken, if we could, let's just start real quick with an introduction to you and Jack Henry, and then tell us what you guys are doing over there.
Okay, great. Well, I'm with the Enterprise Architecture Group here at Jack Henry Associates. And, of course, Jack Henry Associates itself is a company that provides software solutions to the financial services industry, including thousands and thousands of banks and credit unions. And so you already indicated our consistency project.
Yep.
And, you know, the situation here we have is, as we've been in business over 30 years now, and during that, and especially in the past many years, we continue to develop new products as well as acquire existing products from other companies that sort of add to our suite of functionality we provide to our customers.
Sure.
And one of the things is that along with this diversity comes a diverse set of user interfaces. A key initiative we've been involved with over the past several years is to bring a consistency to the range of these user interfaces, and that's led to a user interface project. And this includes a set of standards and a framework to kind of help facilitate some of the behaviors, as well as a set of controls that just makes it easier for our product teams to actually deliver user interfaces.
Sure. And one of the things you were telling me about that's one of the more recent developments is a consistent shell that can host all these bits, right? And that's the is that the Experience shell?
That's exactly right. Experience is a framework that allows the product user interfaces to coordinate their activities. There's actually a layer of communication that can help synchronize and coordinate the behaviors and the interactions between these products. So certainly the shell is there to provide that kind of functionality and allow our products to succeed.
Cool. Well, can we take a look at that?
Sure can. So let me get my desktop ready here. So the Experience shell, I'll just go ahead and launch it up. Part of the aspects that we're going to see here is the fact that there's also a unified security model. What you're seeing in front of us right now is a sign-on screen, and this is really what we call our single sign-on screen. Once I provide the credentials to this screen, the rest of the products that will be orchestrated within this Experience shell can take advantage of that security credential or that secure token.
Yeah, so and this is claims-based then?
It absolutely is.
Cool. So we log in here.
So, as again, I alluded to the shell, and this is what we see, the sort of the Experience. You want to think of it as desktop or just a shell. The important thing is we have a common set of navigation, and this starts out in a very simple pattern here in the upper left corner is a start menu, and of course you can see that we're heavily influenced by some nice takeaways we see in the operating system.
Sure.
We really like the ability to search across various products. We can see here our flagship product, Silver Lake, is represented here, but in the future, many more products that Jack Henry offers will just start flowing down this list of available feature functionality.
Okay, so this is really a very nice represented composite application shell then. So Silver Lake is just one application that can be hosted inside of this Experience. And then once you pick Silver Lake on the right there, then we're looking at like sub-modules or sub-applications that are part of Silver Lake on the left. Is that correct?
That is exactly right. As a matter of fact, you can think of them as entry points or individual functions. The point is it's a paradigm that allows a product to pick the appropriate functional granularity. So sometimes we see products that have just a few functions, and then sometimes a product has a very diverse mix of functions. And again, the product's kind of in control of that, but it can all be surfaced through a common means. I clicked on the product to see this, but a feature that I really like, the fact that I could have actually searched over all the product functionality to return a list. And again, Rob from the operating system on this
right
idea, and we really like this idea.
Very nice. So once I've got the module that I'm familiar with, then I guess we can launch it from here, right? So what happens if you click on that?
So we are bringing up the product within a tab, and when that product loaded, it was also informed that there is some additional function and context data that was being invoked, and so we went directly into the feature function that that the user requested here. So, and through that journey, the security token was also conveyed to the product, and they were satisfied with the fact that I was authorized for this kind of an interaction with the screen.
Got it. So, and I noticed that under your start menu, then you had a favorite section as well, right?
That's right. And so there's certainly the idea that users have things they do, the same thing every day. As a matter of fact, it's very, very common for a customer service representative to work with an account inquiry. And so that customer service representative would probably add that function to a favorites list, and I'll show you what happens. Now that I've added that, every time I go here, that's topmost in my list. I see this right at my fingertips, and I can go right to that function.
Perfect. So, and if you click that, then I guess it would open again in a new tab?
It absolutely would. So the existing account and information they may be working with is preserved, and they can see a side-by-side view of another customer or a different account, or they can act on some different functionality that's available within this UI.
Perfect. So, and I know in the most recent dev cycle that you guys went through, you actually looked at doing some additional integration with Windows 7 as well. So can you show us some of that?
Absolutely. One of the things that we've seen in Windows 7 is we can extend the start menu metaphor all the way down to the taskbar. As a matter of fact, if I take and pin the experience icon to this taskbar, I can now see that same favorite that we made within the experience shell within the start menu is now exposed to the Windows 7 jump list feature, which we really like. And we put in some code to make this all possible, and I think it's going to be a big win for our users. So.
Cool. So let's go ahead and, I guess, can you close your shell there? And since it's pinned
let's
now.
Yeah, let's close this.
All right. So now it's closed, and if you right-click, then we should still have our favorite there. And so we could jump, even though the application's not running now, we could click that, and let's see what happens, because you guys have security as well, right? Nice. And we jump in, and it takes us right to that customer inquiry. Very nice. That's really cool. So now what happens then if the shell's already up and running and the user follows that favorite from the taskbar?
Well, what we've integrated is a sort of a creative means by which we can allow the user to click here as their starting activity, and that will result in the same activity that would have happened if they had clicked that in the start menu.
Very nice.
Looks very nice on screen. It looks very easy. There are certainly some more pieces in the background that's working to make this so seamless. But
right.
it creates a really nice presentation here.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's really important to point out for the audience, because for the viewers, because that doesn't happen automatically. By default, it would start a new version of experience and then cause that function to happen. So you guys put a little bit of effort into making it so that message could be routed to the already running version of Experience, right?
That is correct. We have a requirement to also provide functionality with when there's more than one instance of our shell application running. So we were actually able to sort of track which instance is the appropriate instance to receive that activity, and this one is in the foreground, and so we've actually even went a bit further to say that would be the instance that actually receives the jump functionality. And this is made possible because of some messaging we've got in our viewport shell or our experience shell here, and it uses named pipes on box, basically local named pipes, to actually facilitate this type of communication among the various different instances of experience running.
Yep. And so name pipes is one way you could do this. I've also seen folks use DDE to do this. This is really cool. Can we I know we talked before doing this meeting about showing a little bit of code on how you guys did this. And so if we could, I'd like to switch over and talk about that a little bit. All right, so here we are in Visual Studio, and I know this is not the actual code, because I know you guys have a lot of stuff going on. You guys have even gone so far as having a profile service That allows your favorites and everything to follow the user around potentially as they even go to another machine. But if you can, this is kind of some pseudo code you guys threw together for me, and just walk me through what's going on here.
Okay. Well, you're right. I just started a brand new Windows or a WPF application and did the classic Hello World rendition of our favorites and using the jump feature. I'm going to talk about the code, this last section of code first. So when you've seen me launch that experience icon for the first time, what happened is the section of code here that's associated with creating a jump task for each of our favorites in that menu that I showed you.
Yeah.
That code's actually going to create a new task and apply that, basically submit that to the operating system.
Got it.
So this section of code was all that it took for me to create one, and of course you can see I could have created several, right? We could have several favorites in that list, and we would just basically for each through that collection of favorite items and creating an appropriate favorite for each one.
Right.
Again, I greatly simplified a lot of the context data. The command line arguments that make this come to pass, this is a greatly simplified view, but not too far from fact. So
right, and so the top part there is just that we create our custom category for favorites, right? And then the bottom one is we create a jump task, and you link it up with that custom category that you created, and then we the application path, of course, is the path to your application. You could actually create a jump task to launch calculator if you wanted to, but we're passing the path to our own running instance, and then we could pass arguments, and you guys decided to create an argument called / jump function, and I'm assuming that comes into a place in the code above, right?
That's exactly right. So now the second time or the subsequent times that the user now may interact with that item in the taskbar, the jump list item, will actually recognize that as an argument, that, as you already alluded to, as an argument that has passed into our running executable. So this code is at least just a sort of a very light sampling of some of the things we have to deal with. We have a lot of already existing command line arguments that is associated with our running executable, so we just added one more to this, and I wanted to be sure we searched through all those to recognize, did the user invoke us by using a jump function or one of the jump list features. So if we can see that that is the case, then we go on into another section of code, and I already alluded to the fact that it's very important for us anyway, that when we launch something out of that jump list, especially a favorite, we don't want to actually get a new running shell. We actually want to direct it to an existing running shell. So, and again, the importance there is that existing running shell already has the user credentials, and so we wouldn't want to re-challenge or re-prompt the user every time they want to launch something. So it can become a pretty big requirement for us to be able to do this.
Yep.
And so we were actually able to say, if we have an existing process running, there could be more than one, we kind of track that based on focus, but if there is an existing process running, we actually have to go do a considerable amount of code, so it's a little beyond the demonstration here, but just the fact that we are using named pipes to pass that context data on down to that other running instance, and then this actual executable's job is done. It's,
yep.
It's dispatching to another running instance, and it actually closes. So, the fact of the matter is the user really never sees this instance that got started because they clicked the jump list. They just see the tab show up in the already existing instance, and you already seen that on the screen earlier.
Perfect. Yeah, so it's a really nice handoff. Well, this is really cool stuff, Ken. I really appreciate you taking the time out to show us. I was really impressed when you guys had done a demo and wanted to share it with some folks, so really appreciate you jumping on to talk about this. And if folks want to learn a little bit more about Jack Henry, then where can they go to find that?
Well, our website is www.jackhenryandassociates.com, or I think we can actually work with jackhenry.com. And so that's actually a great place to learn about our company and what we do.
Cool. Thanks so much, Ken. We'll have this up online shortly.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the opportunity to show.
Yep. We'll see.